Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 56 of Macabre Misfortunes.
What's going on, everybody?
This is my Barry White voice. I'll be doing Arby's commercials next.
Oh, you're Barry White.
What'd you think I said?
I don't know what I thought you said.
So basically, I had no voice at all yesterday. We went up to Ohio to Posttown Elementary. And for the first 3 stops that we made, I couldn't even talk. It was laryngitis at its worst.
But it was really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
At its best.
We had a 2.5-hour drive up, and you didn't have to listen to me talk about anything. I started to talk like 5 times, and every time nothing would come out. And squallows.
I know. You poor thing. You can't catch a break.
That's exactly what you want when you want to go talk to business people.
Yeah.
Which is what we were doing in 3 separate stops. But
That's all right. They were cool.
By the time we got to the end of the night, I had it back to where I could semi-talk, and then this morning I got this, so I'll take it. All right, Tracy, so we're going to talk about a subject today that has baffled many people over the last 150 years.
It's a long time to be worth thinking about something.
It is. I'll just give you the briefs of it. On December 4th, 1872... Actually, it's December 5th. I don't know why this says that. But December 5th, 1872, a British-American ship called the Mary Celeste was found drifting in the Atlantic Ocean. There was no one on board the ship. The ship was completely seaworthy and in perfect shape.
Well, that's kind of weird. Where'd everybody go?
All of its cargo was fully intact. And there was one lifeboat missing. And it looked like it had been boarded in an orderly fashion, but why?
It's very strange.
And honestly, we will probably never know because none of the crew was ever heard from again.
I just don't understand how you can just disappear like that.
Well, I would think it'd be easier out at sea in the 1800s than
it would be. Well, I suppose so. I guess when you think about how everything was in such great order and
Right.
It didn't look like there was any kind of struggle or anything like that. I guess I feel like they made it to land somewhere.
Well, it definitely brought up some questions. So let's go back to November of 1872. The Mary Celeste leaves from New York on its way to Genoa, Italy. On board was the captain. His name was Benjamin Briggs. There were 7 crew members. And then there was Briggs's wife and his 2-year-old daughter, Sophie.
Okay.
They had enough supplies when they left to last for 6 months. That's food, water, everything. There were also some luxuries on board, such as an upright piano and a sewing machine.
Oh, what in the world would you want to sell without those 2 things?
Most experts agreed that for a crew to leave a seaworthy ship like this, something extraordinary and alarming would have had to have happened to get the captain to get everybody to, board the lifeboat and on. However, the last entry on the ship's daily log doesn't really show anything unusual. Inside the ship, everything seemed to be in perfect order. Theories over the years have included mutiny, a possible pirate attack, and get this, even the possible assault by some type of sea monster or giant octopus. In more recent years, though, scientists have posed this theory that fumes from alcohol on board possibly caused an explosion that, as a result of a scientific anomaly, did not leave behind any signs of burning.
That seems a little far-stretched.
Well, they were carrying the ship's hull was actually an industrial-type alcohol. So theoretically, if you've ever seen like a cooking show, to where they'll have sherry or something that they're cooking with and they'll light it on top and it'll burn a little bit and then just disappear as soon as the vapors are done. So they're thinking that maybe there was a leaking of the alcohol somewhere, and then maybe there was like a flash fire, that it was a, it looked scary enough to where the guy's like, okay, abandon ship, get everybody on the lifeboats and get them out. But it might have just been like an air type vapor thing that didn't burn anything on the ship.
That is so weird.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's just a theory.
I guess it could happen, though, I guess.
I mean, at this point, you're trying to think, well, why else would they leave a perfectly good ship? So what exactly did happen? What we do know is that on December 5th, a British ship called the Die Gratia, I think it's the Da Gracia, was about 400 miles east of Portugal when the captain, David Morehouse, spotted the Mary Celeste in the choppy waters. Now, he knew that the ship had actually left New York 8 days before he did and should have already arrived in Italy, because this has been like a month almost since it had left. He changed his course and he decided to, you know, get out there towards the ship so he could help. Morehouse sent a boarding party onto the ship. They said that below the decks, the ship's charts had been tossed all over the place. The crewmen's belongings, though, were still in all of their quarters. So whenever they decided to leave, they just left everything when they did jump on the extra ship. He said the ship's only lifeboat was missing. Of course, we knew that. And one of the two pumps on board had been disassembled. So there was a pump to, so if the ship took on water, it could pump it back out to sea. But one of them had been disassembled, and there's a theory on that later. They said there was 3.5 feet of seawater sloshing around in the ship's bottom. Then they get to the cargo. 1,701 barrels of that industrial alcohol I mentioned earlier, which was largely intact. So it's like, if it was pirates, they would have taken the cargo and
right,
all that.
Right, right.
As we discussed earlier, there was a 6-month supply of food and water, but not one single person on board to consume it. Thus began one of the biggest nautical mysteries of all time. What happened to the 10 passengers aboard the Mary Celeste? We're going to take a quick sponsor break, and then I'll be back to tell you some thoughts on what may have happened.
Okay.
Tracy Ann McGregor is a documentarian, and she decided that she was going to do an investigation, an in-depth investigation, to see what she thinks could have happened, and this is what she came up with. First of all, she said the ship began its voyage on November 7, 1872. It's a 282-ton ship, and it battled heavy weather for, they believe, about 2 weeks, and eventually reached the Azores, which is a region in Portugal. That's when the ship's last entry was recorded on 5 a.m. November 25th. The ship was then spotted 10 days later by the Da Gracia and was then towed 800 miles to Gibraltar. British Vice Admiralty Court decided to have a salvage meeting.
Okay.
Normally, these types of hearings would be to determine whether the salvagers, and in this case, that would be the crewman of the Da Gracia, was due a payment from the ship's insurance company. But the attorney in charge of the inquiries here, his name was Frederick Solly Flood. What a perfect name.
Yeah.
He suspected some kind of foul play, and he did his own investigation. Eventually, they did pay out a salvage payment, but only 1/6 of the $46,000 for which the ship and the cargo had been insured for. This suggested that the authorities, they weren't exactly sure that the crew of the Da Gracia was completely innocent of foul play.
Mm.
So they're thinking it's possible that they could have went on board and maybe killed everybody, threw them off the ship, and just took the ship to try to take the money, which in a sense would be a form of piracy.
Or they just smelled that fart you just did, and they just jumped off the ship because it smelled awful.
First of all, I'm sick.
No excuse.
There is an excuse. You know, they're supposed to stay in public.
It's supposed to stay in public?
I mean, it's supposed to stay private.
Well, I'm asphyxiating over here.
That's okay. You wait till I tell your fart story tomorrow night.
Liar.
Mm-hmm. This is what McGregor eventually concluded. She said that a captain wouldn't order a crew to abandon ship in the middle of the ocean unless there was considerable damage, and that wasn't the case with this ship. Therefore, without knowing any reports of what the actual water temperature or the wind speed was, they can only go by the times and locations of the ship's log on the weather. McGregor also said that land would most likely have to be visible before a captain would order the crew off its lifeboat. So she would conclude that it was probably on November 25th, the last time that a log was made, by Portugal when they would have gotten off the ship.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Surely he...
Well, there was no more land for like hundreds of miles. So that would have made sense.
Yeah.
Especially since there was no other log since then.
Mm-hmm.
But it still didn't answer why. So we'll shift back to the salvage trial. Attorney General Sully Flood noted that there was something very strange here. He wrote that he saw nothing unusual until the last 5 days, which is why he had transcribed the ship's logs for the last five mm-hmm. days. The ship's logs believed to be lost in 1885. Therefore, those transcriptions are all that McGregor really has to go by.
Ooh, yeah. I wonder what the heck.
What McGregor concluded is that Captain Briggs and the Mary Celeste were probably actually about 120 miles west of where he thought he was, probably because of an inaccurate chronometer. I don't know what a chronometer is, but apparently it was big back then.
Mm-hmm.
Big ship. By the captain's calculations, he should have spotted land 3 days earlier than what he actually did. There was another important part of these transcripts, though. The day before he reached Portugal, Briggs changed his course, and he started heading north of Santa Maria Island, perhaps to seek haven. This is because the night before, according to the logs, the Mary Celeste faced a very rough seas and winds of more than 35 knots. But these weather conditions and a faulty chronometer wouldn't be enough to make a captain abandon ship. McGregor also learned, though, and this is pretty important, the previous trip, the Mary Celeste was carrying coal, and that the ship had been recently extremely well refitted, which meant that coal must have caused some kind of a problem.
Okay.
She thinks that the coal dust and the construction debris could have fouled up the ship's pump, and that would explain the disassembled pump that they found earlier. And maybe it wouldn't work because it was clogged.
And they were trying to fix it.
They started taking it apart. Maybe okay. The ship started taking on more water. She said, actually, with that pump not working and the hull fully packed more than normal mm-hmm. with the barrels of alcohol, the captain probably wouldn't have known how much water the ship had actually taken on.
I mean, that makes a lot more sense than somebody came on and disassembled it themselves but didn't take anything, because that made no sense at all. Why would they go to all that trouble?
Right. Obviously, it was taking on water and one of the pumps wouldn't work, and mm-hmm. so it would probably have to do with... That's probably where I would have started with my investigation.
Right, right.
At this point, they've got a pump that's not working. The captain may have already spotted land, and he has no idea how much water the ship can take on before it sinks. And that would be the reason
mm-hmm.
where he said abandon ship.
Well, that's a good thought.
And that's her theory. And she actually is making a, I don't know, I didn't see how old the article was on that. She was, actually this documentary was going to be out for people to be able to watch her mm-hmm. whole thought process on what happened. But she's calling it the truth of what happened to the Mary Celeste. She's pretty convinced that that's what happened.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much all they have to go on, I would think.
And we don't know.
And what she is saying would make sense.
It would make sense. It sucks that if there was land that was close,
mm-hmm.
that
they couldn't get there.
They couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
But they did say that the weather was choppy and stuff, at least mm-hmm. when they found the ship.
Dang. That's a shame.
Anyways, that's what I've got on the story of the Mary Celeste.
Very important.
No interesting facts this week.
No, nothing?
Nope.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. I like that, her take on it.
So, that's it, guys. We love you.
Love y'all.